why wait when everybody else is doing it? If you listen to the statistics, and I'm not going to give them to you because it really doesn't matter, but if you listen to the statistics year after year after year, many boys start at the age of 12 and 13 having sex. And by the time kids are 19, the greater percentage of teenagers that are 19 have already experienced sex out of marriage. Why wait when you pick up the newspapers or you turn on television and you listen to the interviews of your stars, your heroes, or the heroes and stars of the world, and they're sitting there with the woman that they're not married to, and they're talking about their love affair? The other day I was listening to, I don't know what it was, Good Morning America or whatever, and on the news they had a couple that they were interviewing. And they were telling about how he made love to her. I mean, just right out on television, how he made love to her when she was still married to her husband and what they did and how great it was. Why wait when our society says there's no need to wait? Why wait when 17 Magazine, which is a popular teenage magazine that has been around ever since I was a teenager, which is a long time, says things like this. They came out with an article called Sex in Your Body. And it says, using good judgment about your sexual choices and deciding what is right for you is vital for sexual satisfaction. Now listen, this is written to teenagers. This is not written to married people. It says, taking responsibility for choosing the right person, the right time, and the right circumstances, and using contraceptives and not using each other is the way to enhance feelings of pleasure and intimacy. Sex is best when you share your love with just the right person and when you choose with a clear mind what the two of you will do. They're saying there are no moral absolutes. And I want to tell you something, they're feeding you a lie. And if you buy that lie, then you will have sex explode in your face. Remember Strange Women and Dumb Men? Well, this is our strange woman. And what is the results? Well, she's in a state of pregnancy. It exploded in her face. And you think, but that could never happen to me. You say, I've done it time and time again. I've done it with girls, and they have never gotten pregnant. Well, is pregnancy the only consequences to immorality? No, there are all sorts of consequences. But listen, the greatest consequence of immorality is this, that if that becomes the habit of your life, the lifestyle of your life, you're going to go to hell, because the Bible says that no adulterer, no fornicator has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that all the immoral persons will be put in the lake of fire where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. But above all else, I think the greatest consequence is you having to stand before a God who loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, so that you would not have to perish, so that you would not have to be a slave to sin, so that you could be set free from sin, and you could be what he created you to be when he created them, male and female. When you stand before him, and you look at him face to face, and you talk to him eyeball to eyeball, and you look in those eyes that are filled with love and purity and holiness, and you have rejected the commandments of God, and you have chosen your own way, and you've said, God, leave me alone. I'll do what I want to do. I don't want my parents telling me. I don't want you telling me. I don't want you cramping my style. I don't want you putting a guilt trip on me. God, I'm going to do what I want to do. When you look at him one day, and you've done what you've wanted to do, it'll be too late. And you will realize that you have pushed away arms of love, nail-pierced arms of love. And you will see that you did not have to live that way, because God was there waiting to help you. Why wait when everybody else is doing it? I'll tell you, the primary reason to wait when everybody else is doing it is you wait because God says you wait. Because God is God, and because you are man, and because God made you, and He made you for His pleasure, and He made you to be obedient to Him. And so you should wait because God says wait. God says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But, as we have seen, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. You say, but I can't wait, but I don't want to wait. Well, we're going to talk about why wait. And tell me how I can wait. I want to take you, first of all, to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I want to show you a, I title it, If You Love Me, Baby, Don't Make Me Wait. Now, this is something that guys throw at girls all the time. Because a guy is usually the one, that initiates the sexual relationship. And yet I can tell you this, that more and more it's changing. And more we have strange women running around propositioning guys. But I want to take you to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And it says, Now it was after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amon, the son of David, loved her. Now I want you to underline loved her. He loved her. He looked at her. He was attracted by her beauty. And apparently she was a really fine gal. And Amon was so frustrated because of his sister Tamar that he made himself ill. For she was a virgin and it seemed hard to Amon to do anything to her. Now listen, this was not his blood sister with the same mother and the same father. David was the father of Tamar, but Tamar had a different mother than Amon had. David had several wives. And he kept looking at her, and he kept thinking about her, and he kept wanting her. And because he wanted her, he was so frustrated that he literally got sick. And he thought, I can't do anything to her because she's a virgin. But Amon had a friend, verse 3, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so depressed morning after morning? Will you not tell me? And then Amon said to him, I'm in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom. And Jonadab said to him, Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, and you say to him, Please let my sister Tamar come and give me some food to eat, and let her prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand. He had a plan. Now listen, some of you have very shrewd friends. Some of you have very ungodly friends. And you need to write it down, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And those of you that are watching, write it down just like those that are here are writing it down. Because this is important. You have a ministry and a mission field out there. You can take these truths and you can take them into your high schools and you can take them into the churches. And you can take them when you go on road trips and you can share them with other kids. Because they need to know the absolutes of God's Word. It is God that you are accountable to. So you need to give them God's Word. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says this, Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Don't be deceived. If you run around and you keep bad company, that bad company eventually will corrupt you. It has happened again and again and again. Now, listen to me very carefully. Let me just stop here. You will be affected, or you will be known by the company that you keep. You will be affected, A-F-F-E-C-T-E-D, or you will be known by the company that you keep. Have you ever had to peel potatoes for your mom? And she says, get those potatoes out of that drawer, out of the refrigerator, well, usually out of the drawer, where they are, and you go to get them, and you pull them out, and you stick your hand in there, and there's a smell anyway, and you don't know where it's coming from, and you stick your hand in there, and you say, oh, gross, Mom. Yuck. I mean, there is a rotten potato in that bag. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you keep the rotten potato in the bag so that the good potatoes can convert it and make it good? Oh, no. Because if you do, you're stupid. Because what's going to happen is the rotten potato is going to corrupt the other potatoes. And your friends will corrupt you, or your friends will make you. Now, Amon had the wrong kind of friends. He had a shrewd friend that is coming to him and saying, Listen, I can see that this is tearing you up. I've got a way for you to take care of this. You go to bed and you pretend to be sick. And so that's what he did. He went in and he laid down on his bed. And when his father David came in, he said, "Oh, Dad," he said, "I am really, really sick. If I just could have something good to eat. Dad, you know, Tamar makes a really good dish. Could you send her into me and have her cook something for me?" So Tamar comes into the apartment. Not in those days, they had a palace, but they had all sorts of little apartments where the family lived. And so I imagine in David's house they weren't so little. But anyway, so she came in. And when she came in, the servant said, "Tamar's here." And he said, "Send her in." And he says, "Tamar," he says, "I'm really feeling sick." And he says, "Do you mind making something for me?" And she said, "Of course not." And when she did this, he said to his servants, "Y'all leave." And so they walked out. He wanted to be alone with her. And so she began preparing the food. And she prepared the food beside his bed. And as she did, he reached over and he grabbed her. Now listen. Verse 11. When she brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come and lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. Do you know what I have in my hand? I have papers from kids. And in these papers, one of the girls says this. She says, I wish that my brother had never fooled around with me. I was young, and he really messed me up. I hear that an awful lot. An awful lot. This is what Amon did to his sister. His sister says this, "As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you will be like one of the fools in Israel." She has her head on. No, don't do it. How am I going to get rid of my reproach? You're going to be like a fool in Israel. Don't do this to me. Now listen. She says, "Let's get married. Let's get married." Look at what she says. "Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." So apparently, she didn't mind marrying him. She didn't mind sleeping with him as long as it was done God's way. So she says, "Let's go to my father, and we'll ask him. He won't withhold me from you." Now listen, if you say to a girl, "If you love me, baby, you won't make me wait." Listen, girls, you can know this. He loves himself more than he loves you. Or if she says to you, "It's all right, take me, I love you." I want to tell you something. If you really love her, you won't take her. Because either one of you having sex outside of marriage is incurring the judgment of God. The Bible says what? In Hebrews 13:4, you say it with me. Marriage is what? Honorable in all. And the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And you can know this, that if you do that, you are bringing God's judgment upon the person that you say that you love. Now listen to what he responds. However, he would not listen to her. She's saying, "Wait, let's do it right. Let's get married." But he won't listen to her. He says, "Since he was stronger than she, he violated her and he lay with her." He just forced her on the bed. Now listen. He says, "I love her. I'm sick because I want her so badly." So he sets up the ideal circumstances, he thinks. And she says, "Wait, just wait. Let's do it right." And he says, "No, And he puts her on the bed and he forces her. And in forcing her, listen, he violates her. If you have sex outside of marriage, you are violating the other person. One day I came down the hill here into our property, and there's a road that leads up to our house. And a little bit to the left of that road, I saw a car parked right there, and it was a strange car. I didn't recognize it, but it seemed like nobody was in the car. I drove around the circle because I saw two of our guys, one of our staff guys and one of our trainees that was in our training program here. And I said, hey, there's a strange car over there. Do you guys mind checking it out for me? I'm going up to the house. So I spun around the circle all the way, and as I went past that car, I noticed movement in the car. I just caught kind of a head. So I pulled over and I stopped and I said, well, since the guys are coming, I mean, I didn't know what was going on in the car. Since the guys are coming, I'll go over to the car. So I got over to the car, and as I walked up to the car, a guy got out of the car fixing his pants. And my guys were coming. And I said, hello. I said, these guys want to talk to you. And I went around and I got in under the steering wheel and I turned around. What do you say to a naked woman in the back seat of a car? I said, hello, I'm Kay Arthur. I didn't know what else to say. So she's trying to get her sweater on and reached up and shook my hand. And I turned around and I said, honey, I want to tell you something. You have far more worth, far more value as a woman than to be treated this way in the back seat of a car. I said, he doesn't love you. If he loved you, he would not violate you like this. He would not disgrace you like this. He would not use you for his own pleasure, pulling up on a piece of property in broad daylight, putting you in the back seat of a car to just release his pent-up desires for pleasure that lasts just a matter, listen, of seconds, really. Oh, there's that time that leads up to it, but then it's over. It's over. In just a few minutes, it's over. And I want to tell you something. Sex is never what God intended it to be in the back seat of a car. God made sex beautiful. God made sex exciting, but God made sex for the marriage bed. Amon, had to have Tamar, and so he violated her. Now listen, it starts off in verse 1 that he loved her. Now listen to verse 15. Then Amon hated her with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. Listen to me very, very carefully. I taught you this. Men are initiators. Women are responders. It is the strange woman. It is the adulteress that hunts for the precious life. And when a woman takes the aggressive role, a man may give in. A man for a while may become your boyfriend after you have hotly pursued him. But I'll tell you this. Many times, once a man conquers a woman, once a man has made his conquest, he's disgusted with himself and he's disgusted with the woman who allowed it. And he wants to move on to another conquest. And he'll go from woman to woman to woman. Do you know why we're having so many marital problems? Because there was promiscuity. Because there was violation of the commandments of God before they ever got married. He hated her. And the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love which he had with her. Now listen, And then he said to her, now look, he has pulled her into bed. He has forced her down. In the heat of his passion, he has made love to her. And then he looks at her, and all of a sudden, he is filled with revulsion. And he says, get up and get out of here. How would you feel if a man had just made love to you because he said he loved you, and then he says, get up and get out of here? Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. And I want to tell you something. Over and over and over again, and this is just some of the papers. I have failed morally, oral sex, and I regret it. It's something I know I shouldn't do, but I normally give in to temptation. I want my standards to be to stop. I wish I would never have given myself to the guy I was supposed to marry. I don't want people to touch me in the wrong place. What bothers you the most? Hearing other girls talk about how they have sex and it doesn't bother them. I've gotten caught up in the chains of sin concerning a sexual relationship. It made me feel real bad about myself, kind of dirty, knowing I led that girl astray. I haven't set any standards, but I'm pretty smart, and I can spot a strange woman. I've seen it mess up people, and teenage sex is something I don't want. I want to be a virgin, listen, with my wife. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you that you wish you could erase? Having sex with someone. What I wish I could change in myself is to get my virginity back. This is a 15-year-old male in the ninth grade. What I wished I never did, having sex before getting married. Sex is, I think, to be used only in marriage. Who would want to ruin themselves with someone just to do it? I let a date go too far one time. This is a 14-year-old girl. I felt horrible. I thought everyone knew, and I felt gross. I thought I wasn't good enough for anyone anymore. What do you wish? I wish I didn't give in to temptation so easily. What would you erase? I would erase all the sexual temptations I have given into. What do you wish had never happened to you? Being beat up and abused by a babysitter. This is a girl. Her babysitter was a boy. She was upset and scared to tell her parents, and she was ashamed. I want a boyfriend. I wish I could be more than just considered to be taken advantage of. What happened? Amon took advantage of Tamar for his own pleasure. And when he was through, the hatred that he hated her with was greater than the love that he had loved her with. He would not wait. And she said, and he said, get up, look at verse 15, get up, go away. Verse 16, but she said to him, no, because this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you have done to me. Yet he would not listen to her. Now watch. This is what he does. She is lying in bed. He has just used her. He says, get up. And she says, no. What you're doing to me now is even worse than what you just did to me. So this is what he does. And he calls his servant in, a young man, and he says, get this out of here. Can you imagine? He has just used her. He has just ruined her. And this is what he says. Look at verse 17. Then he called his young man who attended him and said, "Now throw this woman out of my presence and lock the door behind her," as if she wants to come back in. Get her out of here and lock the door behind her. Now she had on a long sleeve garment. For in this manner the virgin daughters of the king dressed themselves in robes. Then his attendant took her out and locked the door behind her. And Tamar put ashes on her head, tore her long sleeve garment which was on her. You know why? Because it was a sign that she was a virgin. And she tore that garment. She put ashes on her head. She put her hand on her head. And she went away. God! 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 You say you love him. Love lays down its life for another. Love hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love doesn't want to damage another person. And you say that you love. You don't love when you take another person and cause them to sin. You don't love when you steal away their virginity. You don't love when you mess up your sister, dear brother. You don't love, dear girl, when you offer yourselves to a guy. You're not in love, you're in lust. And you're deceived. And when lust, listen to me, James 1, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. She went crying, weeping. Do you want to be responsible for people being tormented? Do you know when the morals in this country changed, when the restraints were lifted, when people decided to throw away the absolutes of the Word of God, do you know what happened? Girls started going to psychiatrists because they couldn't handle the guilt of it all and the trauma of it all. Girls in sex literally give themselves to the man because they're the responder. God designed one man for one woman for all time. And those marriage vows that are said before you go down the aisle, before you go down the aisle, say, "Listen, I'm committed to you. I don't want just your body. But I am giving myself to you so that we can become one flesh, so that I can leave my father and mother and cleave to you, and we can become one flesh forever and ever and ever." And when you violate God's commandments, it will bring guilt, or it will bring a great hardness of heart. And it will change your whole life, and it will change your whole countenance. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Oh, I forgot to tell you the end of it. She went away crying. And Absalom, her brother, heard about it. Absalom found out what Amon had done. And listen, Absalom bided his time. He waited. And then one day, he killed Amon. He killed his half-brother because of what he had done. Listen, verse 20, "Then Absalom, her brother, said to her, 'Has Amon, your brother, been with you? But now keep silent, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart.' So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now when King David heard of all these matters, he was very angry. But Absalom did not speak to Amon, either good or bad, for Absalom hated Amon because he had violated his sister." And then it tells on how he killed him as a result of that. For the sake of time, go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. I want to show you how serious sex is to God. And I want to show you by taking you to God's commandments in the Old Testament, the statutes and the laws that He laid down for His people during that day and under the Old Covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 13, if a man takes a wife and goes into her and then turns against her, in other words, he marries her, he goes in and he sleeps with her, and then he turns against her. And he charges her with shameful deeds. Now listen, if a man could marry a gal in those days and prove that she had lied to him and she had deceived him and she was not a virgin, then he could divorce her. So it says, and he charges her with shameful deeds, verse 14, and publicly defames her and says, I took this woman, but when I came near her, I did not find her a virgin. Now listen very carefully. Then the girl's father and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of the girl's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. Now they had a cloth of virginity, and when they made love for the first time, they laid this cloth on the bed. And when the man had relations with her, there was evidence of that. There was blood on the cloth. So the girl would take that cloth and fold it up and give it to her parents as proof that she was a virgin. That's how serious it was to be a virgin. Because God had said, one man for one woman for all time. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Verse 15, then the girl's father and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of the girl's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the girl's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man for a wife, but he turned against her. And behold, he has charged her with shameful deeds. Now, what does God say? Sex outside of marriage is shameful. He says, and saying, I did not find your daughter a virgin, but this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the garment before the elders of the city. So the elders of that city shall take the man and chastise him. Verse 19, the last sentence. And she shall remain his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But, the next verse, if this charge is true, that the girl was not found a virgin, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house. Listen. And the men shall pick up stones and stone her to death. That was God's law in the Old Testament. Do you know how many young people? Thousands of young people. Do you know one third of all the abortions done today are done on teenagers? We would be killing more people than had been killed in major wars. That's what they were to do if she was not a virgin. It says, the men of the city shall stone her to death because she has committed an act of folly in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house, and thus you shall what? Purge the evil from among you. Do you know what's happening? Do you know that I believe that AIDS is God's way of stoning to death people that have broken His laws? We don't stone anymore. We don't live by the commandments anymore. Once the commandments are made for lawless people, and technically, if we were living with God in charge, this is exactly what would happen. If you didn't walk under the control of the Holy Spirit, who causes you to keep His commandments, if you were not saved, then you would be living under the Old Testament commandments and you would be stoning people to death. There was an article in the Ladies' Home Journal, October 1986, and the article was called Teenage Sex. And this is what's happening. Now listen, this is a folly. What he's saying is if you don't get rid of sin, it will spread, it will spread, it will spread. And that's what's happened in our society. After careful examination, Marilyn Joseph, director of the clinic, advised a hysterectomy, and Deborah agreed. A hysterectomy for such a young woman is a terrible thing, but the infection has spread too far. It's so hard to convince some of the girls of the risk that they are taking. By the time I see them, it's often too late. The numbers are enough to frighten any parent. Experts estimate that 12 million adolescents in this country, more than 40% of all teenagers, are sexually active. For many kids, you're considered out of it if you're not having sex. It's a rite of passage. And he says this, today more kids are having sexual relations in their early and middle teens than was the case even a few years ago. And what are they getting? They're saying this, that they are seeing teenagers with genital warts, which sometimes lead to cancer if not treated. Sexually active teenage girls are considered 10 times more likely to develop pelvic inflammatory disease, an infection of the fallopian tubes that is often sexually transmitted and can result in miscarriages and infertility. More than 14,000 hysterectomies were done on teenagers. 14,000 hysterectomies on teenagers. When I was up in Canada speaking, I talked to a Canadian doctor, and in their area, 13, 14, and 15-year-old girls are having to have hysterectomies. Do you know why? Because they have had sex with so many different guys that it has caused infections in them. Now listen very carefully. That doctor said to me, we believe that having so many different sexual partners is what creates the problem in a woman's body. God designed one man for one woman, and that's why you wait. God said marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Don't you want to have a baby someday? Don't you want to be a mama? Don't you want to know that joy of having a child? Do you realize, dear one, that if you are sexually active before marriage and with several different guys, that you may have to have a hysterectomy? They will take out the uterus whereby that child grows in your body, and you'll never be able to have a baby. Why wait? You need to wait because God says wait. He has a reason. He's the designer. He's the architect. He's the manufacturer of sex. And he says that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Ammon died. Tamar bore her reproach for the rest of her days. Aren't you glad that you're under grace and not under law? Because many of you would already have been stoned to death. But God's given grace. And Jesus stands there with arms open wide. And he'll forgive you if you'll come to him. But if you come to him, remember, you're coming and he will be Lord and he will be master. And he will expect purity. Why wait? You wait because God said wait. We'll talk about it more in the next session. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Thank you for laying it out so very, very clearly. Oh God, pierce our hearts and let us see that you are a righteous and a holy and just God. And because you are, you cannot let sin go unjudged. You cannot wink at it. You're not a namby-pamby parent that can be bought or manipulated, deceived. You know all things. All things are naked and open in your sight. Oh God, my God, speak, and may we listen for your sake and for ours. In your name we pray. Amen.